Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, November 21st. It's the week of Thanksgiving. Welcome to the show, everybody. Hi, Tori.
Hello.
Sorry, I wanted to...
I climbed a lot of stairs just earlier today.
Are you still huffing and puffing?
Still a little bit.
Well, I'm able to smell your newspaper, and it's such an aroma. I love the smell of newspaper.
There you go, always.
So there we go. Tori always sets the mood here when she comes in with a newspaper. The New York Times it is.
New York Times, you know, it's things are always like... not looking good in the New York Times, and I still get the New York Times. And I do the crossword every day, even though I don't finish it on Thursdays, Fridays, or Saturdays.
Really? Isn't that supposed to be a hard one?
Oh, yeah, the hardest.
Really?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Wow.
But I'm not going to do, like, what, USA Today? What is that shit?
Wow. So now, I mean, so are you able to finish them sometimes?
Oh, yeah. I can do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, sometimes Thursday. And then Saturday is the hardest, and I don't know what they're asking me.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah.
It's like from easiest to hardest?
Yeah. Saturday is the really just, I don't know. My dad can finish it. That's the only person I know.
Wow.
But Sunday is in the magazine, and it's a little more, it is hard, but it's not as hard as Saturday.
Right.
Saturday, they just like... put a dot and you're supposed to figure out like the rest of the I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know what they're asking.
Yeah. Now, my question is, do you have to use like dictionaries or things like that?
That
sometimes?
Is not allowed.
Not allowed.
No. Or Google.
But nobody can know you. You're using it.
Does, it
does.
I know.
But you're challenging
I know.
Yourself.
I know. Yeah. It's a very pure old school habit that I got from my grandparents and my parents and my in-laws and their parents, which is interesting. But if you've ever seen the movie Wordplay, it's all about the followers of the New York Times crossword puzzle. John Stewart, like a lot of famous people, and you have to do it in pen. You can't do it in pencil. And yeah, it's just a really long tradition.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting. You see? So we learn something new every day.
Oh, yes.
Folks. I used to do crossword puzzles when I was young, but I need to, I guess you need to practice with those.
Yeah, it's a language. Right? It's like a language you have to know.
It
yeah.
is, yeah. And to
totally.
Understand their thinking behind it when they do it.
Yeah, you know? And when I studied in Italy, I used to print them out because I had a really boring teacher teaching me about Leonardo da Vinci, and I would get so bored that I'd do the crossword. And soon it spread, so every student was printing the crossword puzzle, and he had no idea. And finally he looked up and he was like, "It is tutti," meaning like, "It's every." Everyone doing this, and we were all like, yeah, sorry. And he was like really upset, but yeah, you know, good time to pass the time while keeping your brain active.
Yeah, for smart people, obviously not everybody's gonna jump on that opportunity.
No. It is a little nerd alert of me.
But you know, another good way to get good with crossword puzzles is to create your own, you know.
Very hard.
Like, yeah, like create have the template, and then just start putting words in there, and you see how words fit together, you know, and I think that helps.
Yeah.
I used to do that. For my friends and I would make crossword puzzles for each other.
Yo, you guys are
in
awesome.
In class.
How cool.
In class.
You were the badass.
Yeah, right?
Wordplay. Watch out.
Wow. So we had quite the rain yesterday.
Sure did, guys. It was pouring.
Man, it felt like winter here.
Beautiful.
For the first time in a long time. I mean, we're not talking drizzling. We're talking like strong rain for the entire day. I don't even remember the last time we had like
it wasn't
an
even that strong,
day.
But for LA it was. Like my friends from LA were like, "It's pouring." I'm like, "God dang it, no, it's not."
Well, it depends where you were,
exactly.
Though, too,
that's
know?
True. I didn't. I saw a nice, consistent sprinkle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we didn't have like pouring, but I love the sound it made.
Yeah, I know.
But I've seen like thunderstorm pouring.
Yeah, that's,
yeah, from the East Coast and everything.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
and people were
different.
Like running and screaming, and I was like, "It's water!"
But you know, I mean, very early this morning, I think maybe 3-4 o'clock, it was pouring. I could hear it. It woke me up. That's
love
how
it.
Loud it was.
Yes.
So at least here in Sherman Oaks, it usually rains when at other places it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then I was in the city too, and it was raining. So, yeah, but
what
it was fun.
What were you doing in the city at 4 a.m?
No. That was the earlier part of the day. I meant when I was sleeping.
Right.
I just meant earlier.
Were you making
on.
Crossword puzzles for people?
No, I was talking about Sherman Oaks, and then I said I was in the city.
Oh,
also.
Okay.
You're not following. I thought I was bad at that.
That's right.
You know?
Okay. So I was confused about which day.
No, it's okay. Sometimes I get so distracted. You know, we'll sit here with a guest. I'm like, my mind is totally somewhere else. And I'm like, what did he just say?
Classy.
But thank goodness I have you
That's
here.
That's right. To, thanks. Thanks a lot.
To help out. But so Thanksgiving, they're saying there's like a few foods that are really high calorie. So you should, but they're saying the key is just to eat in moderation.
Don't
stuff your face.
God, no one, everyone stuffs it. That's the tradition.
Right?
You get sick to your stomach, you roll into bed, it's the best day ever.
Right.
And I mean, let me have my day.
So now, do you think people eat a lot because there's a lot of good stuff to eat? And
there's also a freedom on Thanksgiving.
Right.
There's a lot of drawstrings and sweatpants, a lot of elasticity going on. Not a lot of your skinny jeans are coming out for that Thanksgiving dinner. Ladies, I'm talking about maybe like a skirt with an elastic. Go ahead and use that. No one's seeing it.
Wow.
It also is a whole idea of like gorging yourself on harvest and all the good things. But yeah, there's yummy stuff to have. Uh-huh. But I'm not like a pumpkin cranberry person.
Uh-huh.
So all I do is mashed potatoes.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's not too bad.
No, but
they're
plates of them.
They're saying the sweet potato casseroles are fattening and the stuffing.
I think everything is fattening at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but those are especially, maybe because they put the marshmallows in
there. Yeah, the pies are usually pretty bad.
Right.
I imagine those are pretty bad. But Thanksgiving, you know, and a lot of people are having Friendsgiving, which I think is darling, where you go with your friends. That's what I'm doing. I'm not going home. I'm going to have a Friendsgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a time to celebrate, you know. So, hey, harvest it out, people.
There you go. You know, get your turkey out. And if you can't make turkey, just buy one, you
sure,
know.
Sure.
They have them all over the place.
That's right.
Yeah. So looking forward to that, folks. I guess the American Music Awards was on last night. Did you watch it?
I watched a little of the AMAs. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I didn't know that was still going on, but I don't
I
watch
know,
a
right?
lot of those. Yeah. The big moments, Selena Gomez made a nice comment about her mental health. She had to go away from basically a breakdown. And she kind of said, I had everything you could ever want, and I was completely broken inside.
Wow.
So she won and did a really big speech about mental health. Which
really?
Was,
so she like to inspire people.
Yeah, but for a girl at that age or a woman to talk about it blatantly, openly, I was lovely. Great decision. Great.
Yeah.
And girls need a lot of role models at this point, and that's
they really
a big
do.
One.
And we were talking about teens being
depressed.
We were
just talking about that, and she just came out and said, I was at the bottom.
Wow.
And you'd never know. I
you'd
mean,
never
she's
know,
dating
right?
Bieber and all that crap, but good for her. She looked great too, by the way.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's not really what happens in your life. It's how you really react to it.
Yeah.
And if you have mental issues or emotional, then you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, and literally girls look up to her because not only is she an independent girl, she is a good voice and a good role model. I used to think she was lame, but she's actually like a great role model. But to come out and say that was brave, but also it says what we said. Now it's trickling into the pop culture so much that it's not crazy that she would say that.
Exactly. You
which
know?
Is great. Which
yeah.
is great.
I mean, they used to burn those people as witches, right?
Yes. Back in the old 1600s.
I know.
Salem.
Depressed or bipolar or something.
Yeah,
I mean, they
watch out, man.
Crazy to them, you know.
Yeah, and I think to normalize it like that, and she's this hot, cool. That's like a Kardashian doing it. I mean, it really is. I mean, she's a better than a Kardashian.
She's a big influencer.
Yeah, and for especially young girls, she also. She's with the Bieber fans, so it's like it's a great way to reach out. Gaga gave her a big hug, and you see Gaga on Instagram holding her, saying like "Thank you for speaking out." So it was a big moment. I think it was a really nice moment. I think I don't really know. I think Drake won a couple.
He was nominated for 13.
Yeah, he won a lot. He won a lot. But the other thing is Kanye. He wasn't there, but Kanye has been making a big splash.
Really?
He just canceled the Life of Pablo tour. After missing two concerts, and then the last one he was at, he started going off politically and going on and on and on. And he's on a floating stage, and he's like, "Jerry, move my stage." So he floats, but it takes like an hour to get back. In the meantime, he's talking, and he's like, "I would have voted for Trump, and I would have done this, and Trump, I'm all this, and Barack, you didn't do anything." And people, it's not the crowd to go after.
This is like in his concert.
This was two nights ago, and people started being like, wait. So all of a sudden, the crowd starts coming back at him, and they're like, you know, fuck you, Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts yelling at them, and he walks out after two songs and then canceled his whole tour.
He's an asshole, you know?
I mean, man, he is. I mean, on SNL, they said, if you don't have a sick beat behind you, Kanye, we don't want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, right?
It's true. Like, you make no sense.
Mm.
So I don't know. He was all like, I voted, if I did vote, I would have voted for Trump. And that's just not the place you say that.
Yeah,
I mean,
right?
His audience is not going to love that. And he was bashing Barack Obama. I'm like, oh.
Wow. People are going to a concert. They don't want to hear this shit.
Really? You know? If Beyonce wants to say something quickly, then get back. Yeah, I don't need to hear what you think. You didn't even vote. Like, I'm not interested. So, and what's funny is his wife has been a big Hillary supporter. So I wonder what she's thinking.
Yeah.
Kim. So very weird. Kanye's having another one of his breakdowns, which is great.
Yeah.
Good entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's what he's famous for, you know.
Yeah, or but the money is in the tour. And for. Oh, and then he went after Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Really?
Which you don't do because Beyonce has something called the Beehive. The Beehive, they go after you. It's all of her fans. If you say one bad thing, they attack and they have emojis and everything. And he said, Jay-Z, we aren't talking anymore. And Beyonce, you know, I think you're so snobby and you wouldn't do you didn't do a song unless you knew you were going to win in an awards. And he just, you don't say that about Jay-Z and Beyonce.
He's probably on drugs or something, I don't know. It sounds like
he has narcissistic personalities.
Yeah, right?
He is Trump. It's just a different kind. You know what I mean? I mean, I think he thinks he could run. Man, that guy's an idiot. Yeah. Anyway, not a good place to air those grievances.
Yeah, that's true. Well, at any rate, so the show was good. I mean, I don't know any of these artists, to be honest with you. I've heard of them and stuff, but, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, I never heard of some of these people, and that just shows you how I'm not following music, modern music, so much anymore.
Yeah.
So even on Spotify, it keeps offering me stuff that I like from previous decades and stuff, you know. So I never really, sometimes I attempt and I go into, okay, the top 40,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know. I can't relate.
I'm a different
generation. What can I tell you?
It is. It's art. If you stop listening within 2 weeks, you probably miss a bunch of artists. You'll never know.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's also an article about the 5 diseases you can get from kissing, but I'm not going to get into that yet. Well, let's just bring in our guests. I know I didn't say we're going to have a guest because I wanted to surprise you guys.
Surprise!
There's always a surprise here. So I want to welcome to the show back Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek.
Yes.
Hi, guys.
Thank you.
These are definitely friends of the show. If you guys listen every day, you know they've been here several times. They're the hosts of Answers for the Family, which comes on today, right after the show. Mm-hmm. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Always love having you guys.
Always glad to be here. And Matt and I were talking about the fact we love doing this show because it's different than what we do on our show, so it allows us to be ourselves a little
yourselves,
more.
Yourselves, exactly, yeah. So whereas Answers for the Family is more topical, here it's more about personalities and just having fun and stuff. So I'm glad you guys come because you can get that opportunity to, like you said, to be yourselves, right?
And kissing and diseases.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. He's like, we're not going into it. I'm like, what is the disease? I want to know.
But you're great, guys. We always love having you. You guys have good energy about you, you know? And I think that's important today. Do you notice sometimes when people don't have good energy about them, Tori?
I'm an empath, which people think is bullshit, but it's not. And I pick up on a lot. If someone's hurt, I'll feel hurt. Same kind of thing.
Really?
And man, I pick up, it's exhausting being in LA, going from one place to the other on the road. Especially on my block, it's become all these skateboarding stores. And the energy, they'll start walking when it's not their turn and then get mad at you. So the road has become this energy of bad news.
That's true, right?
Bad news. Yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes you see, like, you go to a restaurant, you get a waiter that gives you, like, a really terrible service, and, you know, and it ruins the whole meal, you know. But I think energy from people is very important.
Absolutely. And Tori, I have a thought that you may not have looked at in regards to this energy thing. Okay, if you look at it a little differently, okay, if you are this huge energy person, and if you believe in the fact that there's one collective intelligence, if you're there and you're soaking up so much more than your share, maybe it's not their fault that they're not doing everything right. You've just soaked up so much of it, you didn't leave
that's
any for
true.
Them.
That's true. That's right. I do. I soak up a lot, man. I got to stop soaking. Yeah. But I do. Now
soaking is better than sucking energy.
It is. Right. It is. It is. Right. You know what? You're absolutely right. And I do have a lot of empathy. It gives me compassion a lot of people might not have. But you got to have a block at some point. Yeah. And finally, my teacher of Buddhism goes, the Buddha would have liked boundaries. So I'm like, I'll just put this, you know, a bitch walks over. I'm like, nope. I'm not taking it.
But boundaries, I think you mentioned boundaries. That's the word that came into my mind when you were saying this. But boundaries, some people don't have them.
Oh, yes.
Right? And, you know, I think in relationships, I've seen this where there's no boundaries, you know. It's like they become one. And I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing. You know what I'm saying? Because then when they split up, there's two halves of a person.
They're not their full mm-hmm. person.
There's a really interesting theory on the pleaser and the victim. And the idea is that if you help someone that needs help and you're pleasing them and then you feel good about it, but if you're helping someone that actually doesn't need help, like if Alan asked me to help him move on Saturday morning and I show up and he's already got 13 guys there,
right.
Now all of a sudden me being the pleaser becomes the victim.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a cycle.
Yeah.
And so you try to, you know, instead of setting boundaries, you try to please people, but when they really aren't victims and they really don't need help, you become the victim.
Wow. Wow. That's very interesting, but it's true, right?
Yeah.
It makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be a pleaser. I mean, you know, I think in the world there's givers and takers, you know. I mean, for the most part, we all have both of them in us, but I think in most people there's one that's dominant.
I'm such a pleaser that it caused me a lot of backfired right. over and over, and I'm
but
still
But what I'm saying,
that.
You should be a giver, not a pleaser. I think,
right.
I think when you're a
boundaries.
Giver.
Boundaries.
Yeah, you know.
Boundaries.
And also where it comes from. I think wanting to be pleaser is like a pressure to be liked or something.
They're a validation
right?
for it.
And givers, it comes from you, I
right.
think, you know. And I love giving, you know, it's a great thing. And I mean, I like receiving as well, but I really thrive on giving. And so, yeah, I mean, pleasing is the opposite of that. Don't let other people define you by how much you're willing to do for them, you know.
I used to do, right, and I think that it took me a lot longer than I thought to get over that. But it was hardcore, goody-two-shoe, please, 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 like a Labrador.
Wow.
Ingrained. So it's not easy to get over, especially as a woman, I think. In society, you're supposed to be the, you know, but man, it took me until like last year.
Right.
You know, last week.
Last week, like last yesterday. Week, right?
So what, so you expect it to be agreeable?
Always, and sort of like, you know, not, you know, in the societal way of like, you please, you make the dinner, you nurture, you help, instead of like, yeah, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's just a new kind of turn.
Right.
But it's not just that. It's just that I grew up with a family that was very goody two shoes.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to please. And it's like, it was dangerous. It's dangerous because you can get yourself in bad situations, man.
That's true. That's
it backfired.
True.
And you have no control over other people's emotions.
Right.
Or whether they like you or not.
Right.
So you could be the nicest person and the most pleasing person. And
they don't like you.
Just might not like you.
Dita Von
right,
Teese,
exactly.
She's a burlesque. You know Dita Von Teese? She's a burlesque.
Yes,
and
the
feminine.
Burlesque.
Yeah, she said, you might be the juiciest peach in the whole world, and there's still someone who doesn't like peaches.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah,
that's true.
True.
That's hard
sense.
To accept, though.
It
yeah.
is so hard, because peaches are great.
Right. But people have to understand that right out of the gate, your chances of someone liking you are 50-50. They either like you or they don't like you. So automatically, half the world is probably not going to like you, you know? So if you meet someone who doesn't like you, you just go, okay, so that's another one of them. It doesn't mean that there's not people that like me and that I'm not okay, right, Alan?
Exactly. No, and in fact, there's a phenomenon for caregivers, and this is an area that, I mean, Matt and I deal with this quite often, and there's a phenomenon with caregivers when you have one-on-one caregiving for a long period of time that at some point in time, the person receiving the care will actually turn on the caregiver.
You ever sense?
Yeah. I've seen that. I've yeah. seen that with my mom.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're firsthand.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so it changes the way that they think about themselves. So at times, we need to be able to put them in a position to use both sides of themselves, you know, both sides of their brain. Let them
independence.
Yeah, well, let them be more independent, or let them be more giving. Come up with something that even they're confined to a wheelchair, but something they can do mentally
so
for
like
you.
So they can reciprocate in
so
a way.
So they can reciprocate because it helps their own mental health.
Right. Mm. And that's a very spiritual thing, mm-hmm. you know, about receiving and giving back or paying forward and things like that, you know. And it's a very spiritual thing because when you give back, you're able to create sort of a balance, you know, sort of a, you know, an equal ground, I think, because people, I think the soul, in a spiritual way, obviously, the soul sort of become ashamed when it receives too much without giving back, you know. And that's the thing. Think if you had someone giving you money all the time and stuff. After a while, you just feel like, I have to give something back, you know. Do I really deserve all this?
Well, let's try that, though.
Let's try that first
for a
while.
Yeah, wait, I'm fine with that.
I volunteer for that study, okay, to be on the receiving end of that study. I'll volunteer
totally.
For the next year, okay?
I'm good for 10.
Okay.
I'm good for a decade.
Until you're ready to give back, right?
I'm ready for a full-on decade of that.
I don't think so. I think we're good people here. I think we would share.
Sugar daddy.
Yeah.
I think when you, there's also something sort of like basically altruistic about humankind. You'd hope, you know, you do see the signs of like, from monkeys and chimpanzees to humans, hopefully something that's evolved is the sense of giving back and altruism. Right. I mean, you don't see chimps like doing soup kitchens, but you do like, you know, with humans. So you hope that's a human trait. You hope that keeps going. Right. You see sort of less and less of it these days, but maybe that's just because we're all more cynical.
Yeah.
But I feel like I see less of that, but I don't know if that's true.
I think it's also in the big cities, right? In modern modern society, pretty much. Because when you go to the smaller towns, you see that camaraderie there, you know? People know their neighbors and everything. You know, I mean, people live in like a mile from each other, probably in like Nebraska or something. They probably know each other, but I've got like 14 neighbors. I barely know them, you know?
So you know them that's by their cars. Thing,
right, yeah, yeah. You know?
You don't bring brownies over to their house?
No, I do not. Only if people complain, and that's all I have, you know? The music and this and that and the TV and all that stuff. But what can you do, you know? So now you guys do the show. When did you guys meet? I mean, because Alan, you were doing the show on your own or with different co-hosts before that, and you've been doing the show for what, 8 years?
Yes.
Already 8 years. I mean, if you guys don't believe in dedication, there you go,
there
you know?
Yeah.
And knowing someone for 8 years, such as me knowing Alan, is an amazing thing. I can vouch for this man. He's got no evil bone in his body, you know? And with Matt, the same thing, you know? So when did you guys meet? How long ago?
Why don't you go?
Yeah, I mean, Alan came into my life probably around 5-6 years ago, and I had the pleasure of working with him. I was running a residential center, and he was doing the transport. And our relationship started there. We did some Dr. Phil shows together. And we've just stayed in touch ever since. And like you said, unfortunately, there's very few kind of be of service people in this world. And Alan has been there for me since day one. If I needed something, or if I had a patient that needed something, it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of, you know, he's on his way and when do you need it? So
he is, you're right,
one of those guys who's always there for you and more importantly, there for your patients and people who need him.
There you go. And explain transport to people who don't know what Matt just said.
Okay, well, transport is where we're doing crisis intervention and adolescent transport of at-risk at youth. So in many cases where there is someone, let's say that they're on drugs, they're put in jail for a violent act that they've committed, rather than have them go to jail, it'll be set up through the school district for them to go to a specialized program that'll work with their particular problem. If it is a drug or alcohol addiction, they'll go to a special program. They'll still get education, but they will also focus on that rather than just housing them in a jail situation to where they're not going to get educated and they're not really going to
do anything
to stop doing whatever it is that brought them there in the first place.
You know what's interesting is more countries that start to see it as sort of the disease and they turn into sort of more rehab. Chris Christie, have you known? He's a big believer in rehab instead of jails. Mm-hmm. And I guess he's seen it in his own family. But I was like, he's spoken out really bravely. I know that guy's kind of a lot of controversy. But on that one hand, good for him.
Yeah, and, you know, the Surgeon General last week came out and finally admitted that, you know, addiction is a chronic disease. It's a huge win in our field.
Yes, as soon as we see it that way, it changes everything.
Not a character defect or something like that.
Or willpower
issue. And that's a big deal, right?
Yeah, and it's getting into our schools as well, because there are schools now that are focusing on the fact that if someone is starting to act out, they are not drawing attention to that. They're drawing attention to the people that are doing something good. Mm. So there isn't a penalty for that. They're just seeing that there is a positive to not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so because we know that so many people, if they're not getting any attention anywhere else, negative attention is better than no attention.
Sure.
That's true. And that's what they do. They act out. Yeah.
I met a woman last weekend who goes into schools and they have what they call, most schools have a Saturday in high school, have a Saturday detention.
Mm.
And what she did is she said they could either go to the Saturday detention or they could go to these mental health groups.
Mm.
And so they had the choice. You know, you can sit there for 4 hours and do nothing,
right.
Or you can learn about mental health issues like you were talking earlier about Selena Gomez, you know, about depression and communication and drug use and all
what
these
things.
What
a better use of your time.
Right.
There's a
right.
school, I don't know which city, but it just turned every detention into meditation.
Yes.
And
that's
it's
right.
become like the 93% lower drop in any kind of crime within the school.
Right.
And all they do is sit there and breathe in and out. And so instead of spending your time thinking about the breakfast
rather than punishing them, because detention is punishment, right?
It's
so you
also
don't make
boring.
It feel like punishment.
Right, it's a waste of, you have precious time with these kids. Why are you wasting it? Mm-hmm. So to have them learn another way of behavior, I think it's so smart.
Yeah. It probably occurred to a teacher one time that was sitting there and going, look at these kids. They're not doing anything. Maybe we'll get them to do something.
Get something productive. But I think it took a while until meditation became cool. And in the again, like it trickled down to where now it's okay to do meditation. You know,
or do productive things like go to those
Like that was probably more taboo 5 years ago. You
That's
know what I mean?
True, yeah. And that teaches them to actually go outside of themselves, I think. And teens need to know how to do that.
Especially if you have a crappy life situation, home situation, and you learn to meditate, imagine how useful that is that you're at home and there's fighting and there's gunfire and there's really gang wars outside your building, but you can learn to meditate.
Right.
That's so much more powerful.
That's true.
Yeah.
It really is. So you meditate, right?
Oh, yeah.
How often?
Every day. I do not meditate well. It turns out I have what a Buddhist calls the monkey mind.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
It's all over the place. It turns out I have a very busy mind, but so does my teacher, and she says that's okay. So I'm good.
Accept yourself.
Except
right?
She's like, the whole thing about Buddhism is that you can, she says sometimes she'll hear the gong, and that's when you start, and then she will not have one thought concentrated until the last gong, or she'll fall full asleep.
Wow.
But the whole thing about Buddhism is you don't get mad at yourself at all.
Exactly.
So you get to just keep going.
I know.
So
sounds like such a positive thing.
It sure is, but it's actually very, meditation is very hard. Try it for 2 minutes. Mm. 30 seconds.
That's
is
why
very
I don't
hard.
Do it because
it's very
hard.
Hard, right? Yeah. So my friend's having some real trouble with sort of panic attacks and stuff, and I taught him to go into doing some apps. There's one called Headspace where you have just 10 minutes or 10 seconds it starts, and you can do it every day. And the idea is not to push anything out, is that when thoughts come across your head, you simply let them go like you're a big sky, and as clouds go by you, it just moves away.
Right.
So you just learn to get quiet.
Yeah.
It's harder than it looks.
Alan, do you do meditation?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yeah, in fact, and Headspace is one of the ones that I've
done. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Whoa. So, and how often do you do this? Daily?
Every day.
Really?
Actually, twice a day.
Twice a day.
First thing in the morning and the last thing when I go to sleep.
Wow. And for how long?
In the mornings, probably 15, 20 minutes.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And at night is probably about 10 minutes.
Wow. I'm up to like 7. I'm up to 7 minutes. But it's going great.
Someone's calling in. Let's see. You want to take this?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead, please. Hello?
Oh.
Whoops, I disconnected her because she went something like, ooh, and I thought that's the wrong number, so let me disconnect this. But if she calls again, maybe she does want to say something. Maybe she didn't know she was on the air.
I think she wants
I'm quick on the trigger.
Jeez, Louise. Yeah. Well, you're off.
No,
you need meditation.
I mean, it's just like, because after so many years, I have an ear for it, you know?
Yeah,
so don't distract. You see, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I don't take calls, because it distracts from what you were talking about, right? Totally. That's why I don't take calls.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's go back to what.
No, but as you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, maybe you should need to do a little mindfulness before the show.
Yeah,
yeah,
know,
right.
So that we don't cut them off. But but I've been told the same thing. There are many people on our show that will send in. They go, look, we send in emails because we've tried to call in, and we don't know if you don't want to talk to us or if you just don't know how to use the board. I had somebody tell me that. So.
We know the answer.
Yeah,
we know the answer.
Not telling us.
Exactly, I know.
But it's not like some shows love phone calls, and some shows are only phone calls, you know, like advice shows. We have like psychologists, and we have psychics, and they get a lot of calls. But on this show, I always said, calls are cool, but you know what? When I have guests here, I don't want to disrupt what's going on, and a caller is always going to take you somewhere else anyway. So, but anyway, you see, and it happened.
Yeah.
Just like I said. So we were in the middle of something else. But so we were talking meditation and everything. Matt, do you do any meditation?
Slight. You know, I do speeches. So I was in Houston last week in front of United Airlines, and before I go on, I do the same thing. I have an app. I think it's called Insight Timer.
Isn't that interesting
and
that the apps
free.
Have become so...
And same as Tori. It's a 10-minute thing, and I normally get about 3 minutes in or four
So what
minutes
does
in.
The app do, really? I mean, what? It keeps track of your meditation?
No, it guides you
it
through.
It guides you.
Oh,
yeah.
It guides you through it.
I have two. I have Calm, and I have Insight Timer, and you get to pick. And they show you these, like, you know, it tells you take a deep breath in, and it shows you
like baby steps.
And,
baby steps.
But I've never been able to get through the whole one.
No, no.
So I guess
you might have a monkey mind. Mine is more like monkey on acid. mind. But yeah, again, the whole idea is that no matter what it is, it's just weather and you're the sky. And yeah. weather will pass and the That's sky's true. Always behind the weather. But right. it doesn't feel like that. So that the point is of meditation is that when you're in the heat of a moment and someone has just cut you off, you can go there sort of more quickly than you did yesterday.
Right.
You can get to that space of quiet more quickly. And I will say, after 5 years of doing this, I think I've become like 22% better at it.
Wow.
But that is still better than getting worse at it. Does
That's
that make
true.
Sense?
No, absolutely.
That's a great point.
And, yeah.
And you learn to embrace it, you know, I guess the way that your mind works. Right. You know, you don't fight it really.
You train. You train.
Yeah.
You tame the monkey.
Exactly.
You try to tame the monkey.
It's like, calm down, you know.
But you also give the monkey a lot of hugs and kisses. You got to be warm to yourselves.
Right.
Sam, I have a question for
sure.
you. Since we brought it up earlier, I'm going to D.C. to spend Thanksgiving with my family.
Yeah.
Tori's hometown.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And I'm probably going to kiss 10, 15 relatives.
Oh, you want to talk about
so,
that?
So, I mean, what do I got to worry about here?
What a segue that was.
Maybe I'll do like a fist pound instead of a kiss now.
Yeah, that's true. Good. But I don't know. They're showing pictures of French kissing. So I don't
okay
know if it's
then.
The same thing. But wait a minute. But kissing is kissing, right? I mean, you still... Well, how many people kiss on the lips when they're not romantically involved? You know what I'm saying?
I've got my mom's got a couple of friends who are trying to sneak him in on me.
Really?
You know?
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
It's a little I think
weird.
They just want you.
Just turn your face and kiss him on the cheek for crying out loud.
I have someone who does a three kiss, so it's a European. I know the European, but then she goes back for a third. I'm like, we're good. We've had our moment. Back off.
Yeah.
But I think it's an Arabic thing, so I should really be more like nice about it. But I didn't know. I'm like, we're going again?
I was in September. I was in Romania, and the greeting for many of them was a kiss on each cheek.
Yes.
And I didn't know exactly where we're, you know, so I'd get
Which
a kiss
way?
On the cheek and I'd start to pull away and then they'd
and
move
then
my
yeah, yeah.
And they get the other side and I'm like,
exactly.
okay. But then I would meet somebody that's maybe from another country and then I would try to go to the two
yeah,
cheek.
Creepy.
And then they're
and
pulling away
one.
After one. Like,
exactly. What the hell is
you
going on?
You look all
at?
Creepy.
Yeah, exactly.
So you need to learn the culture.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the thing. Like in Israelis, for example, they do both.
Yeah.
So you don't know who's going to kiss you on both sides.
Do you know
sides.
Which, is there a way to go first? Does everyone go left then right?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay,
but you go like, you know, left and then bam, they go for the other cheek and you're like, yeah, I pulled away already, you
okay.
know. So yeah, I totally get that, Alan. But don't feel bad because it's like you almost feel you offend them, right? Because
yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, you know. But yeah, who cares? You know, don't pay any attention
yeah,
to them.
That's okay. I'm a hugger, so I'll just okay.
I'm a hugger.
I'm just gonna hug you. You kiss whatever cheeks you want.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wait, no pun intended.
I'm away from a distance.
Oh, yeah, I can see that, Matt. I can see you. Hello, over there.
So, okay, so now that we explained that, let's say this focuses more on lovers and things like that that do like full French kisses. Mm-hmm. Okay, the first thing is any respiratory virus. So if you have like the flu, cold, mumps, German measles, all of these
oh
can be
Is
spread.
German measles just measles but more strict about it?
I don't know.
What's German measles?
Oh, whoa.
They're all in a row.
I know, like efficient measles.
Yeah, the bumps are in a perfect row.
Oh, God.
Scary.
So anyway, so those are called contact diseases, and you can get them by being even 3 to 6 feet away from a
oh
person
God.
Who's sneezing or coughing. So definitely, if you have a cold or a flu, stay home, man. Nobody wants to be with you.
No.
You guys are
you're an outcast.
Kisses.
Yeah, you know. The next thing is called the kissing disease.
Mono.
Mono.
Mononucleosis.
Mononucleosis is usually caused by the Epstein-Barr virus and comes with extreme fatigue and flu-like symptoms such as fever, sore throat, muscle weakness, and swollen lymph glands.
No. I was told I had mono and for like 6 months and I was just lazy.
Really?
No, it's a Wayne's World joke. I think that's so funny. I actually did go through that and they're like, you don't have mono.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a heart disease.
It's scary, no. man.
Isn't that also how people get pink eye?
Yeah. Kissing?
Yeah, I mean, isn't pink eye sort of associated with mono?
Oh, I never knew that.
Oh, no. With mono.
I thought it was from poop.
Oh,
from poop? Really? Yeah, pink eye is from feces.
Fecal matter,
really? Fecal matter, yeah.
How do you get fecal matter in your eye?
A baby would probably,
okay.
Or like wiping your kids, or
oh,
you
I
know
see.
What I mean, or dogs.
Wow. I didn't, yeah.
Oh, gross.
No, I didn't know it, but I remember when I was in school and there was a kid who had pink eye,
Oy.
And you know, and so the teachers were telling us all of these things, you know, don't kiss them, don't get close to, you know, and things like that.
Poor guy.
And so we thought it was tied into mononucleosis or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it is contagious in different ways, you know, but not
pink
through the
mouth.
Pink
eye's very contagious, yeah.
Not through the mouth.
It's so sad maybe. When you're that kid. Don't touch him.
Yeah.
Leave him alone. He's a leper. Point at him and laugh.
Well, you know. All right, so the next thing is, this is obvious, cold sores or fever blisters.
That's a herpes situation.
That's herpes, right? Yeah. And
he's making a lovely
situation.
Face here.
Yes, yeah, I know.
Super grown up about it.
You see something like that on your partner, run for the hills.
Yeah, what are you doing getting a kiss in there with the herpes on? No, no, no.
Yeah. No, thanks.
So then there's another cytomegas. Megalovirus, another not well-known member of the herpes family.
Okay.
So that can be spread as well by kissing. And then finally, bacterium that can cause group A something. Okay, spread through direct contact with mucus from the nose or throat.
God, this makes kissing sound so gross.
That might sound gross, which is exactly what they say.
Mucus.
You will come
in
contact
word.
With mucus while kissing.
Okay, we're good now.
We've somehow gone from mindfulness to mucus, and I don't know how we did that.
Well, because Matt wanted to know what happened.
I was genuinely concerned for my holiday trip.
Are you more worried now with your monkey mind or less worried?
I'm going to keep a distance.
Yeah, you are.
Yes, yes. Go in there and teach them mindfulness and say mindfulness has to be done at this distance.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Absolutely. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to Matt Polacek and Alan Cardoza, our guests for this morning, and they're the hosts of Answers for the Family. So stay tuned after this show right now, and they'll be on. And what are you guys going to talk about today?
You've got the book.
Yeah, we've got the book, Forks Over Knives Family. We're looking at a plant-based diet from pre-pregnancy and through, you know, your children's early year lives and what kind of a difference it makes. And I'm excited. We've got two doctors on with us, joining us.
Oh, awesome.
It should be interesting.
Yeah.
Is it like, so vegan or just plant-based?
Plant-based.
So is there no meat at all?
No meat. It sounds like it's...
Interesting.
The main issue people are having in the book I was reading was that people focus on vegetables and they focus on fruits, but they're not getting any energy because they're not eating the, you know, legumes and that kind of stuff. Mm. So, and different beans and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you need the protein.
The protein.
Yeah.
And carbs.
So that's interesting. I can do tofu for like a good 3 or 4 days, but then I need a burger.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, when you grow up eating meat, for the most part, you always love it, you know?
My mom's very anemic, so she would order the burgers like rare.
Really?
And they had to make her sign something.
Really?
Like certain restaurants, like in the 90s, there was you have a worry of salmonella contamination. She'd have to sign a waiver.
Wow.
I mean, she wanted it bloody.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, she needed that. She needs the protein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know.
She's also a vampire, so that makes sense.
I'm not kissing her.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, that's funny. But when it's rare, there is still blood.
She likes it like walking around. Like, right. Yeah. But it's interesting because usually anemia patients also chew ice. You can kind of point out, you can see anemic and they love bone marrow and... Yeah, usually chewing ice is a sign of... So if you're chewing ice, you don't know why. It could be iron deficiency, people.
Wow. So anemia, what? A lack of iron in
A lack of iron in the blood.
In the blood, right? That's exactly what it is.
So you could, like, if you just touch her, she bruises really easily.
Wow. Yeah, well, go ahead. Keep eating that rare meat if that's what makes it.
There you go.
You know? Wow. So, so diets, that sounds good. So, like, this is from pre-pregnancy, are you saying, or from pregnancy?
Yeah, they're looking at, the baby in utero through the first few years, and then how do you sustain it, basically.
I see.
And they're saying, you know, if your child has this diet from the beginning, you know, then they don't have the cravings are different.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like,
and
right
that's
now,
what
I'm craving,
saying.
You know, I crave a steak. I crave...
Right.
Burritos, In-N-Out, you know.
Right, yeah, let's go do it, man. I know, I crave steak a lot lately. I don't know what it is, but it's hard to find a good steak, you know, unless you spend like $50 per steak.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's also hard to find, like I want to go to Veggie Grill, and I want to go to these, like, these plant-based things, but I also, like, think I feel like I'm eating bunny rabbit food.
Yeah,
I mean...
A salad is good, but you got to get a nice steak after
that. Yeah, it's not fulfilling for me. Maybe they'll come up with some protein that tastes like it. I know there's seitan and all that, but it still tastes like fake.
Yeah, who wants fake meat?
You know?
Right. But I think what they're saying in the book is that it is what we crave because it's what we
you
were raised
to,
on.
Yeah. Exactly.
And if we raise the next generation of kids on a better diet, they're not going to crave
it. Like sodas. You know, sodas are no longer craveable because it's not around.
Right.
Right. But thankfully, what I've seen, at least in my kids, is they grew up loving fast food, and I was concerned. But now that they're in their 20s, they're eating very healthy because they're conscious of it.
Mm. Yeah, I think healthy eating became, again, the popular, cool. Right. It became cool.
Yeah.
And I think vegan is too cool, but like I think thinking about where your meat comes from became kind of popular, and thinking about the idea of it.
Right, and GMOs and all that stuff, right?
You know,
and organic.
I've got a story about a buddy in college who was a big chicken fan, and he would always drive through this chicken fast food restaurant. Well, 2 months in, he grows a lump on his breast, you know, like a third breast, basically, from the hormones that they put in the chicken.
God. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
The chicken is the worst at the fast food place. It's like pink slime.
Right.
I know the meat, the hamburgers are the same, someone's probably saying, but I still like the hamburgers better.
That's true.
The chicken's bad.
If you see them cooking the chicken like El Pollo Loco or something, but nuggets, forget about it.
Yeah,
I don't know
like
how they
slime.
Even make them. Yeah,
it's terrible.
You know, wow. So, yeah, that's fast food for you. But kids like it, you know, and they grow up on it. They grow on it, but I do agree with you that the eating habits probably have to start from before the woman even gets pregnant, you know, because it's the baby gets, it gets all those, whatever you put in your body, that's what the baby gets, right? All the nutrients and also all the toxins and everything that you put in your body. And so it makes sense, you know. I mean, they tell a pregnant woman not to drink, not to smoke, not to do this to protect the baby. Makes sense that the diet would follow too.
Yep.
You know? Wow. Very interesting. So who are the guests? Tell us real quick who the guests are.
Dr. Pulday and Dr. Letterman, and they've written this book. It was turned into a film, actually.
Oh, wow.
So the name of the movie, I think, is Forks Over Knives.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard of that.
Forks Over Knives.
And, I like that. That's smart.
And they have a couple young kids themselves, and so I'm excited to hear with their kids what it was like, you know, with this diet and seeing if they have the cravings and all that stuff and how it was for them to switch over. So it'll be really interesting.
Yeah, very much so. And so we didn't also introduce that Matt works with the Betty Ford Center out here in L.A., West L.A. Tell us a little bit about that, Matt, what people can expect, because I find, and I keep telling you this, I think your program is amazing.
Thanks,
not
sir.
That I've had to use it, thank God.
but you over there to at least hang out with you
there. And it was nice. You guys welcomed us very nicely there. It's a great facility. And so tell us a little bit about it and what people should do if they have an addiction or they know someone who's addicted, how they can contact you, what they can expect.
Yeah, well, you know, basically the idea was that people are going away, leaving their life for 30 days or 60 days to receive residential treatment. And that's not for everybody. Some people need an outpatient center.
Right.
So a lot of our population are people that are stepping into an outpatient center in West LA versus having to go away for treatment.
Right.
And so what
which is so much more comfortable, I think, for people.
Yeah, and it's hard. I think it's a hard transition back,
yeah.
You know, for people who have been a residential, which we do. We do step people down from residential and kind of reacclimate them into the real world, working again and then still having, you know, their focus on their recovery. So, you know, we take all major insurances. We're an outpatient program. We've got a day program, an afternoon program, a night program. We're on Santa Monica Boulevard in Overland, right in West L.A. We got a great staff. And again, we're in network with most people. And people could call me directly on my cell phone, 562-225-4093. And I, you know, would welcome anyone to come by and see us and tour and learn about the program. And thanks for letting me chat.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love when he gives his phone number. I'm like,
right.
It's like Patch Adams over here. Such a good guy.
My wife might not appreciate it.
I know. That. She's like, keep it to yourself.
But there you go.
I mean,
person that's making himself available
totally.
To you, and do it right now if you have someone in trouble in your family or you're feeling desperate with drugs and everything, because you need help and there is help out there. And so, and it is now you guys take insurance and everything, so people can actually come there. They don't, you don't have to be rich, you don't have to be a celebrity, just if you have insurance, they'll probably most likely cover it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think
how much better can you get at this? You know, no money out of your pocket probably, mostly.
And in LA, the stigma of addiction, I think, has really been reduced.
You've got
tons of celebrities who are coming out. Again, Selena Gomez yesterday about mental health. You know, there's plenty of celebrities.
Eating disorders. You know, Demi Lovato coming out. She went to a rehab for eating disorders.
I mean, do you remember how Robert Downey Jr. acted out, like, when was it? Like 15, 20 years ago. He was like totally on drugs. You'd find him like naked in somebody else's
house. Oh, he was in jail, man.
Yes. He was in jail. So, but he got clean.
He's running a great recovery program.
Yeah.
His wife and he.
So you tell me that he's still going through a recovery program. So it's a lifetime thing.
Yeah, he's still very active in the community and giving speeches and helping support people. And the great part about the recovery community in LA is there's a lot of be of service people. And when I say that, it's people that have you know, done everything in life, have been successful, and are giving back because they went through what these people in their early recovery are going through. And West Los Angeles has an incredible, incredible recovery community.
Yeah, you couldn't be in a better spot.
I've got a list of 20 people who are waiting. They say, Matt, anyone that needs help, give them my number. I'll take them to AA meetings.
Whoa.
I'll take them, you know, to coffee. I'll sit them down and tell them what worked for me. I mean, I literally have lists and lists on my phones of people who have, you know, gone through it. They're 20, 30, 40 years clean, living a healthy, happy recovery life, and want to help and want to give back. That's all they want to do.
Right. It sounds so daunting when you think you have to work on it for the rest of your life, you know? Like, you know, once an alcoholic, forever an alcoholic, even if you're recovering, right? But it's sort of like, I mean, do people really need to carry that that label, that description of like, I'm in recovery, you were describing his recovery is going well, and that's the way that support groups talk about this. But I would like to think that I left it behind me, you know, if I'm like, and tell me I'm wrong, because I guess the fear is that you always will rebound.
Well, I think the idea really is that it's a chronic disease, but at the same time, I think people take a lot of pride in the fact that, you know, they've been in recovery and they're living a great life in recovery. You know, how nice is it to go on a vacation and not have to worry about grabbing your pills that you need to take, or to not walk by that bar and need to have that drink. And so on a day-to-day basis to work through that, I think there's a lot of pride in it, but I think there's also a lot of acceptance.
Right.
In the program, you know, the people that are in the program, you know, the concepts and the 12 steps and learning about honesty to self and others, and, you know, it's just, there's a lot of beautiful stories, there's a lot of incredible people, and this world that opened up to me maybe 7-8 years ago, I've never met better people.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And
that's amazing,
away.
You know. And
they're like Buddhists. They're the purest of themselves.
Yeah,
they're good people.
Beautiful, yeah.
And that's the thing, you know, I mean, I've run a station here, a business for 8 years where I see a lot of people, and I'm here to say even in L.A., there are a lot of great people, you know. I mean, this town is viewed as being phony,
superficial,
and some people are, you know. I mean, a lot of the entertainment industry is like that. But for crying out loud, we have like 4 million people live in LA County. You know, that's a lot of people, and among them, there's a lot of great people.
I think what's interesting, like you said, the recovery being a lot lifelong thing, same as meditation, is you're called like a spiritual warrior. So in some ways, I think recovery is like a strength to say, it's like I'm a warrior and I'm holding this the rest of my life. So it can be reframed, you know what I mean?
Right, and I think one of the biggest things that I've seen, I mean, over 30 years in this industry, is the aftercare. You know, there was a time, part of my frustration is that we would take somebody to a program, they would be there for a period of time, and they would come out, we would pick them up, and they would be transformed, they would be doing so great, but they go back into an environment, and all of a sudden they fall back again. And so now with programs like Betty Ford, to where they can come back to their home, they can come back, they can work, and they have that change that's made right there, so that they don't fall back. And but that's the biggest change that I've seen in the industry is the focus on aftercare, so that people don't fall back into bad habits.
Yeah.
I mean, I love when people come in. And it's like Alan's saying, you know, they go from 5 days a week to 4 days a week to 3 days a week to two to one till they're ready to kind of re-enter the world. But my favorite thing is when people come in and how they look physically and talk to 30 days later.
Right.
I mean, the life is, life is back.
Yes. That's why I watch Intervention, so I get to see the, the transformation.
Yeah. Because when they come in, they're probably like all like gaunt or, you know, whatever the addiction is.
It's so rewarding.
Yeah.
Right?
It's the eyes. And we used to call it dead eyes.
Yeah, shark eyes. Shark eyes.
Yeah, you would pick them up and it was as if they had dead eyes. There was nothing going on there.
Wow.
And then it could be 30 days later, it could be 60 days later, whatever it is, and you see them afterwards. And for me, at a transport standpoint, I don't see them every day through that process.
Mm-hmm. It's a sharp difference.
It's a sharp difference when we see them, you know, 60 days later, and there's this glow in their eyes of life and excitement,
right?
And you know they want to move forward and they want to grow as a person. It just really makes you feel good about it.
Right, exactly. And I think that's a way to end the show, guys. We are out of time and we need to let you guys prepare for yours. But the bottom line is get help. You know, there's always something there. There's a beauty in everything. And the thing is, if you're addicted, there is hope. And if you look in the mirror, or if people don't tell you you're glowing, then you need to go to Betty Ford Center or reach out for Matt. Matt, give your phone number again so people can call in even now.
562-225-4093.
Awesome. And that's Matthew Polacek. Alan Cardoza, thank you so much, you guys, for joining us. You're amazing.
Thanks
as always.
Always great to be here.
And obviously, we're going to have you back every few Mondays and stuff. So it's always great conversation. Always awesome.
Always.
So stay tuned for Answers for the Family, guys, right after this. And Tori, thank you.
Anytime.
Good luck with the puzzle today.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.